Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend, we prepare for the fourth Sunday of Advent. And as we get closer to Christmas, I pray that your Advent season has been a time of preparation for the birth of Christ. Let's go into our checklist. Number one, my friends, do you have time for God? Check. Is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you now free of distractions? Check. If you've answered yes to the four questions, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the prophet Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. And here it is. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be deep as another world, or high as the sky." But Ahaz answered, "I will not ask, I will not tempt the Lord." Then Isaiah said, "Listen, O house of David, is it not enough for you to weary people? Must you also weary my God? Therefore the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the first reading from the book of Isaiah, we are given a sign each and every year as we prepare for the birth of Christ. The sign that was given to Ahaz is also given to us. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel." Next week we celebrate Christmas and the birth of Christ, the creation of our holy family. Are you and I ready for Christmas, my friends? Spiritually, mentally, and physically? Are we at peace? Do we go into the Christmas season with peace, or are we going in with something other than that? Depression, anxiety, fears? Are we going in without peace? Because the peace of God is very important. And in many of our reparation sites, Our Lady has appeared to people throughout the world. And she says, pray for peace within your own heart. And when you have that peace, you and I can share that peace with other people. So I pose the question to you, my friends, what are you bringing to the table this Christmas season? Are you bringing peace to other people or something else? Are we bringing more stress on our families, or are we reducing the stress on the people we love? Think about it. Once again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz saying, ask for a sign, and you and I will ask God for many things, many signs in our lifetimes. We want confirmation. We want proof. Very often we want something more to confirm that we know what we know. And so with that, we acknowledge the great sign that has been given to Ahaz and is given to us each and every year as we once again celebrate the birth of Christ and the coming of Christmas. It's a special time to make changes. It's a signal grace that's been given to us, a sign, a signal grace, something very extraordinary that God provides to us as a faith increaser, something to increase our faith to get closer to Jesus Christ. What better sign can we receive than the birth of Christ himself? Once again, the Lord himself will give you this sign that the Virgin, our Blessed Mother Mary, shall conceive and bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. This is the sign for you and I. The life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so powerful a gift that it changed the world. It sets the clock to the year 2022. And in the Lord's lifetime, he did many miracles in his 33 years before his death. But next week, once again, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. We acknowledge the love of God who sent his only son to us to give us a role model for family life, to provide something so extraordinary that it changes our lives, changes the world, and it motivates us, inspires us to bring the gift of peace to other people, to bring the love of God to other people, and to bring God's word to other people, to nourish their hearts, their minds, in a way like never before. And that's the power of God. Let's go to our second reading. And before we do, I challenge you this season, my friends, to bring as much love as you can onto your dinner table, into your home, so that when people come and greet you and say Merry Christmas, the love of God will enter into their hearts, into their minds, from your mouth into their heart, and that you make an impact on them, because we never know what people need. We can't read their minds. We don't know where they are at that very moment. And so this Christmas season, I challenge you to raise the standard, to lift people up through, once again, the peace of God, the love of God, and the Word of God. Let's go to our second reading from St. Paul to the Romans. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And here it is. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised previously through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel about his Son, descended from David according to the flesh, but established as Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, through resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we have received the grace of apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the Gentiles, among whom you are also, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all the beloved of God in Rome, called to be holy, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Romans, St. Paul, who terms himself as a slave of Christ Jesus, set apart for the gospel of God. And St. Paul, who was the persecutor of the church, persecutor of Christians, and then converted by our Lord himself, is an individual like no other man. Even the apostles were in fear of him, did not trust him. So he is on a different path than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the authors of the gospel. St. Paul calls himself as an apostle to the grace of apostleship, called to obedience of faith. Are you and I, my friends, called to be an apostle? Are we under the grace of God right now, this day? Or do we have work to do? Where are you and I standing as we prepare for the Christmas season, the birth of Christ? Are we called by God? What is your calling? Many are called and few are chosen. Some are called to the married life, some to the single life, and some to the religious life. Some are preachers, some are teachers, some are confessors. Some have the gift of hospitality. What is your calling? What is your state in life? Whatever it is, my friends, it should bring you peace within your heart. And when you have peace, you know that you are one with God. You are right in your state of life. And it's very powerful. I know that there are many people who are in a position today where they're dissatisfied with their state in life. A good friend of mine shared with me only last week that he has a cousin who actually took her life at age 28, shot herself, dissatisfied with herself, her state in life, most probably in a state of hopelessness, unable to elevate herself out of a depression. She took her life. And each and every year, many people, especially around the holiday season, will do exactly that. Unfortunately, my friends, for them, they're gone. But you and I have time to get right with God, to go to God, and to ask for forgiveness, to ask for guidance and direction through the Holy Spirit, asking God to lift us up, so that we too are in a better position than those who are in a hopelessness state. And we pray right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For those individuals right now who are incarcerated, those who are in hospitals, recovery homes, nursing homes, those who are lonely, bewildered, burnt out, those who are in a state of hopelessness and see no vision for the future, we ask that this Christmas season God will lift them up, that he will reveal himself to these individuals in a way like never before, so that they can see the precious gift of life itself, the precious gift of family life, of children, of parents, of brothers and sisters, the gift of good health. May God reveal these gifts, graces, and blessings to these individuals who are struggling today with a hopelessness state and who are contemplating suicide. We ask that he lift them up in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this, my friends, is important. In the area of obedience, St. Paul talks about his calling to obedience. And in word and action, you and I have work to do, my friends, so that we're not hypocrites, but that we are, you know, right with God. We are obedient to God. And in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses tells it best when he says to be careful, to do exactly as the Lord your God has told you to do, to not deviate to the left or to the right, but to do exactly as God tells you to do. And that's the struggle for all human beings, my friends. But we are on that path, and we strive to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. That is the command from our Lord Jesus Christ. He says that the steps of a good man is an order from the Lord. And sometimes the Lord tells us to be still and know that He is God. And so we have to slow down. You know, life is very challenging, very difficult. We have a lot of peace in life, but there are moments where we have no peace. We have sadness, nervousness. We have, you know, an unknown because we can't predict the future. Just last week, I went to two funerals, which reminded me of the great gift of life, a family life, gift of marriage for individuals. And one of my friends, my good friend Pete, who I know for 33 years, lost his father, who was 91 years old. And today we pray for their family. And they were married more than 60 years, his father and mother, before his time came. And it will be a very, very difficult time when we, you know, sit down to the dinner table without the person we love. When that chair is vacant, the chair that they sat in for many years is vacant, no longer filled with the person and the love that that individual brought to the table for his family, the chair will be vacant. It is then that we acknowledge, we understand what it is that we've lost, who it is that we've lost at this very moment. The vacant chair. It's a great poem. And sometimes, my friends, we want to understand before that person leaves, can we appreciate that person a little bit more? Can we say thank you a little bit more for the things that he or she has brought to the table for our family, for what they do in word and action for us as mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters? Can we take a moment for the people who are alive in our lives to say thank you, to show more appreciation for the impact, the generosity, the compassion, the understanding, the patience they have had with us, for all of those gifts that they have given us in our lives as sons and daughters or brothers and sisters? Can we show more appreciation? The second funeral we went to was a good friend of mine, my friend George, who I know for 30 years, who lost his wife after 54 years of marriage. It was a tough day, a beautiful service, but a tough day because now George will know what it means to go home to an empty house. And this is a difficult transition to make from married life to single life once again after the death of a spouse. But it is an appointment that we cannot miss when God calls us home. And for Diane Miner, we just pray that God will bless her in heaven and that He will bless George and his family here on earth with the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, with the love of God, which is the greatest gift in the world that you can bring or give to another person. So it was a difficult week in going to two funerals this week. And tonight, I will, as a deacon, go to a funeral home to do another wake service for a woman who, at age 63, passed. It was her time. And she had many children, 21 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren at age 63. She made an impact on the world. And I just tell you that, my friends, because this Christmas season, I want you to think about the people in your life who are with you today. The blessings of having family alive and with you. Do we appreciate our families, or are we reluctant to pick up the phone to call them, to send a Christmas card? Are we holding grudges, not forgiving? do we owe apologies to people in our families and are unwilling to make the apology. God calls us to a higher level of humility. He calls us to make amends, to make the peace, to bring the peace, to change the environment from a negative to a positive. And I want you to think about, once again, the people who are alive in your life and the fact that life is temporary and that family life over the years will change as it has for the people who have been lost this week and the people who have been taken up to heaven this week, who will go to our Lord Jesus Christ if and only if they have believed in their heart that Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior. He is our Lord. If they have confessed with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we believe with our hearts, we confess with our tongues, and then God gives us that opportunity to eternal life. It's a powerful thing. But again, this Christmas season, I challenge you, I inspire you, encourage you to show greater appreciation to the people who maybe you and I have taken for granted because they're there day in and day out. We know that our time will come someday. But before that day comes, I challenge you, my friends, to raise a standard in appreciation for those we love. Do it this Christmas. Give them the greatest gift of all, which is truly, you know, the love of God. Bring it to them from your mouth into their minds and hearts. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's go to our gospel reading now from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 24. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has become conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Matthew today, my friends, we see the obedience of Joseph, who was awakened by the angel, and he did as commanded, and he took his wife Mary into his home. This is a powerful story about the birth of Jesus and how it came about, and the creation of our holy family through the birth of Christ. And the story of Jesus is an old story. We've heard it many times. It's rich in truth, rich in goodness, rich in love, filled with hope. It gives us great vision into the future. It's part of our faith throughout our lives as believers in Christ. And Christians around the world this week will celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus, which opens the door, my friends, to eternal life through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We are given access to eternal life with our Father in heaven. And no one comes to the Father except through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are called to it. And the Word goes on to say that Jesus will save his people from their sins. No one in my life, my friends, has ever saved me from sinning. Has anyone ever saved you from sinning? This is the power of Jesus Christ, the power of Emmanuel. God is with us. And if God is with us, it says in the Word, who can be against us? And that's the zone we want to be in, my friends. We want to flock to Jesus each and every day as a people of God. We want to keep the focus on the Word of God. Keep the focus on the Christ in Christmas and not go off into materialism excessively and forget about the true meaning of Jesus Christ. You and I, my friends, have opportunity each and every day to make sure that we are focused and not drawn into commercialism, materialism, straying away from the true meaning of Christ, who brought the love of God into the world through his birth. And he gives us the role model of family life with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph through his birth. The Holy Family is there for us. And it's up to you and I to draw in on that philosophy. And as Joseph left his state in life and brought Mary into his home and they became a family, it goes back to the book of Genesis where God tells us that a man is called to leave his mother and father and to join his wife. And the two will become one flesh. And they will be fruitful and multiply in the context of a marriage. And the Holy Family gives us this role model like never before, because it's the birth of Jesus that changes the world. The birth of Jesus that changes my life and your life. And this Christmas season, my friends, we are called to keep Jesus at the center, to focus in on the Holy Family. How is your marriage doing? Is there something more it needs? Is it lacking? Is it given enough quality time to care for our husbands and wives? Our children, are they neglected or are they given a lot of love, a lot of peace? Are you bringing to the table this Christmas season the peace of God, the love of God, the Word of God? Is the Lord Jesus Christ talked about? How did this come about, the birth of Jesus? And right here in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 24, we are given that story once again. It's up to you and I to reflect on this for the children, to bring to them the true story of Christmas and the true meaning of Christmas in my heart and in your heart. My friends, Merry Christmas to you and your family. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you and your family in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Once again, Merry Christmas. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and clear for takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.